think back on all the crap.
Dave Carney back here with you. A Throw It Up There Thursday sees an entry of Paul Simon, a little Kodachrome. Bob Ibeck is joining the program, as he is accustomed to doing now on Thursdays. Bob, top of the morning. How you doing today?
I'm doing good. Do you need to check me, my hands and my belt and anything else? I didn't use any of that spider tack yet.
Yeah,
it's too early in the morning.
Well, I was figuring, Bob, you were going to be putting on sunscreen rosin and possibly lathering up your hair with Pert Plus so that you could run your fingers through it and come out with some more grip on the baseball. But that was just my guess. No, Bob, I think I'm okay. I trust you. You seem like a clean player.
Well, okay. We'll go there some other day. But
I did some
cheating on the basketball court and on the baseball diamond in my life, but I won't tell you exactly how.
Listen, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. At least
you're not winning, right?
No, you're not doing whatever the Bucks. They need to get back to that. We'll talk Bucks basketball. Bob, you and I were going back and forth a bit this week, and Major League Baseball is in our crosshairs. I've been really, really, really disappointed this season with Major League Baseball. I was very disappointed with them last year. That 60-game season really ruffled my feathers because it was so unrepresentative. I didn't know why they did that. But this year, Major League Baseball, it seems anyways to me, Bob, and this is where I want to start with you, it seems like Major League Baseball is trying to upset their players, and therefore they are upsetting the fans. The season, the in-season changes that they're making with these pitchers is getting to the point of just comedic error, and now you're starting to see absolute just stupid gamesmanship by the managers for these teams. Bob, this looks like a real ruining move for Major League Baseball. The players hate it, and I can tell you what, fans are starting to get fed up too. What the hell is going on in your estimation with Major League Baseball?
Well, first off, let me give you an analogy here. I mean, I'm not a chess player. I've only played a few times in my life. But I know if I was playing you in chess, and all of a sudden I know my butt was getting beat pretty good, I'd say, hey, David, listen, we've got to change the rules here. The castle can only go this way, and the king and the queen are going to do this. Let's just change the rule in the middle of the game. You can't, when this is a game, you can't do that on a baseball diamond. Now, you got to understand that Manfred Mann, okay, otherwise known as Rob Manfred, and the mad scientist, otherwise known as Theo Epstein and his right-hand man, both have never played the game, really. I mean, Epstein played it as a high school player, and the other guy quit in Little League. So they don't understand it from the perspective of being on the diamond, being in the dugout, being in a major league season. They never got to that level. And it's exasperating. I've been down there when I spent almost 9-10 years with the Cubs in the dugout. I covered the Orioles. I saw it on a day-to-day basis, what these men have to go through, the preparation. And when they go to spring training, and they do use, especially the pitchers use spring training as kind of a tune-up for the baseball season. They're trying this and that out and everything else. Now, all I'm saying is, and I do agree with Tyler Glasnow, okay, you don't implement this program in June, in the middle of June, in the middle of the season. And well, Tyler was putting the suntan lotion on his arm and touching it with the rosin. And he said, and I'll have to go ahead and believe him, he said that he was doing it not for spin control, but more or less so that these baseballs don't feel good in his hand. And that's been the big complaint. And I know behind the scenes, Major League Baseball toys with these baseballs. One year, it's a little bit softer. Another year, the cowhide or the horsehide on there is a little tighter. And they do it for reasons. They want to see the long ball. They're all encouraged because they know the younger crowd that is following baseball, the analytics, the mad scientists out there, are all into spin control, exit velocity, and they feed all these statistics to the announcers during the game. And you feel like you're in a chem lab when you hear the part of the play-by-play going on, especially from the newer announcers that are fed all these stats. I think what I would do if I was the commissioner at this point, I would say, guys, let's play on under the rules we started with in spring training. And then after the season's over, let's get a council group. You bring in 5 or 6 of your representatives from the Players Association. We'll have 5 or 6 guys from management. We'll sit down at a negotiating table as part of our ongoing agreement, because they have the contract issues, and let's decide what is something that we could all live with for next season, and we'll implement it so that when you go to spring training and you practice and you put into your so-called repertoire what you're going to be doing during the season, you will be playing under the same rules throughout all of 2022. The other thing I'd like to see done is, it's maddening to me, we got to do away, and if I come across this because my son's with the Tampa Bay Rays, it emboldens me to say it. I don't like starting a runner at second base in the 10th inning. I know the Rays are 3-9 in these, what I call them, ghost losses, because that's a ghost player on second base. I think they should do away with that, or if they want to go ahead you play the 10th and 11th, at least the 10th and 11th innings under the regulation rules. And then if you want to say, okay, in the 12th inning, if we're still tied, then we'll put a runner on second base. But do it. Give a team an opportunity for two or three innings and extra innings to win it the regular way. But I'd also like to see a couple of these other things implemented, and they can easily do this. One, everybody, if you're an infielder, you are not allowed to be on the grass in short right field or in short left field. Even if you're hungry for some of the grass and it's late in the ball game, you can't go out and graze in the outfield. All the infielders must have both of their feet on the infield dirt. That's one rule. Second, let's make the shifting in baseball really mean something. You go out and you say, okay, each manager, you're allowed to make 5 or 4 or 6 shifts a game, or even only one shift per inning. But once you've used that up, you can't shift anymore. So now you're telling the manager, this is a tool that I can use. I have 5 shifts that I can use during a game, just like so many mound visits you're allowed and things of that nature. Make the shift something that is important and is a good tool to combat, maybe a particular player, but make it really mean something. I'd like to see that done. And then I'd also like to see, going back to the inspection of these ball players, I saw Romo did out in San Francisco the other night, dropping his pants in the Giants game.
That was pretty good, by the way. I got to tell you, that was pretty good.
Yeah, somebody's going to take it to the next level before the month's over. And I can see Bauer or somebody like that, or Scherzer doing something.
Frank Thomas is going to come back for a one-night special because he's got to promote that ageless male, and he's going to say, they didn't call me the Big Hurt for no good reason, and now I'm showing you why.
Yes, yeah. But I think they should go ahead and in the privacy of the dugout, down in the camera well or some area there,
sure.
The pitcher comes off the mound, and that's where the inspection is done. Now you're not going to get the fans involved. You're not going to get the rest of the ball game involved. And you do it in a private area. Now, if the ball player is found to go ahead and have something on his cap or whatever, and he gets tossed, well, he's still going to get tossed. I know last night, there's gamesmanship going on. Girardi did that with Scherzer and caused a ruckus. Last night I'm watching the Rays game in the ninth inning. The Red Sox are losing 8-2, and I can almost guarantee it was Cora, the manager of the Red Sox. Diego Castillo comes in the game, and he's always worn his same cap for like the last 2 years. It's his good luck charm or whatever, and he tilts it just a little bit on the bill, okay? Up, timeout, out come the inspectors, the umpires, and Kevin Cash, the Rays manager, had to run out there with a new cap. Well, Castillo was just like glaring, and I thought to myself, okay, the first guy's going to get one in the ribs because he's not too happy with having to lose his favorite cap. But he went out there and he pitched a 1-2-3 ninth inning, got the save, and looked over toward the dugout. The Red Sox dugout just glared in there and threw up his glove as if to say, you want to inspect this now? But that's what it's going to lead to. You're going to actually see some fights going on here.
Well, Bob, and really quick, Bob Ibeck is joining the program. If you happen to just be tuning in, this is one of our favorite weekly guests, and for obvious reason, our listener, Darren Bob, has just promoted you to commissioner of Major League Baseball. He says, I love this man. Bob, the idea that I'm sort of working on, and I think I brought this up to you either off air or on air, I can't recall now, is that Rob Manfred, Manfred Man, as you have accurately referred to him, and his trusty sidekick, Theo Epstein, who I actually think these two remind me more of that cartoon from the 90s, Pinky and the Brain. But that's for others. It was a WB show. You can check it out on your own. I think that there is a desire and an intent to separate as much as possible position players from pitchers when it comes to the collective bargaining agreement. This upcoming off season, if you will, because if there can be any sort of rank and file dissent amongst the players, this will leverage, you would least expect, more favorably towards the Major League Baseball side of things, the ownership and the commissioner side of things. That to me seems like one of the things that is happening here. However, the boomerang effect of what I think will ultimately happen is going to be so bad for Major League Baseball's owners and their commissioners, because the players, they're not stupid. They get what's going on here. The Major League Baseball ball is being manipulated based upon free agent classes. The fact that you're changing rules in the middle of a season, essentially changing a horse in mid-stride, this is going to haunt Major League Baseball, because the players, while they might be testy with each other right now, they're just friends. This is a fraternity, right? Like, the Major League Baseball Players Association is probably the most powerful association as far as a labor union in sports, and one of the most powerful in the country, Bob. I just think that Rob Manfred has really missed the mark, and I know what you're getting at here and what some of the attempts are to do, but I don't know, man. This looks like a design to get these players to infight, and when it doesn't work, we're all going to be missing baseball, because this
well, you know, you're right to happen. You're right there, David, because they are trying to go ahead and split sides. But I can tell you one thing, from some of the players that I've spoken with and the older players that are out of the game that are still involved in the game, okay, it's not going to happen. Actually, behind the scenes, and I can tell you this, just knowing this a little bit, the regular everyday players are right with the pitchers on this whole issue. They know what Manfred and company is trying to do. They will not allow it. All it's going to do is pour a little extra kerosene on this fire, and they better watch out, because if the Major League Baseball players can figure out a way to, if it comes to this, to just leave this whole MLB and form a league of their own. Borrowing a term, and the one hang up there might be, where are you going to play? Where are the ballparks that are going to have 30,000 or 40,000? But if they decide they want to go to maybe like AAA ballparks or AA parks that have, say, 25,000 capacity, they have enough money behind them. And as you mentioned, I think last week, looking at the gambling money that's out there,
absolutely,
I could see this whole thing evolving into AFL NFL debacle, or the old days of the NBA and the ABA. And one thing that management, the men in gray coats and gray suits don't have, they don't have the ability to go out there and throw 99 miles an hour on the mound or hit a baseball. So the players are going to win out in the end. And if they get the fans on their side, and enough people are probably out there right now that are seeing what Manfred's doing, I could see this really getting tough over the winter. And if not, who knows? Maybe they'll pull a surprise move in September this year and say, we're walking out. Who knows? I don't know how far this will go, but you don't want to rattle the cage. Major League Baseball is making a lot of money. The owners are making money. These franchises are, you know, the Cubs, and I knew this for a fact because I was part of a group with Mark Cuban that was trying to, you know, purchase the Chicago Cubs, and the Ricketts family got it for $758 million. That franchise now, the Chicago Cubs, is worth over $3 billion,
yeah.
And we were our bid was $1.1 billion, and we got turned down because Reinsdorf and Selig did not want Mark Cuban in as a Major League Baseball owner.
Well, because Mark Cuban would have done too much to show up their inequities and their fallibilities, and Mark Cuban being an incredibly good owner for the Dallas Mavericks, despite being a little hands-off, according to a report. I think that the idea of Mark Cuban in Major League Baseball was a very, you know, it was one that would have shook up the foundation a bit too much. And that's one of the things that I think Major League Baseball, you know, has going for it. It's the foundation, Bob. But for our listeners, I just want to kind of put this in context. We're talking to Bob Ibeck, who spent his entire career. His father was Lou Gehrig's valet. This isn't somebody who is just a passerby when it comes to Major League Baseball. Even Bob is saying this thing can get squirrely and quickly. When I watched the Korean Baseball League get major television coverage, Bob, last year during the pandemic, it dawned on me. Major League Baseball better never, ever, ever try to take the game away from fans again, because if they do, that'll be their last time. When Major League Baseball went on strike in 94, I was at the final game for the Angels, and my father and I walked away from that, and we were saying to each other, they can't be this stupid, can they? Yes, was the answer, Bob. They canceled the World Series. They better not ever take the game away. Fans will say, we're done. This is
you remember the bitterness up there, and I was at the game, and my son was there. He had gotten tickets. I don't know, it was like in the very beginning in 2000, and what was it? What was the All-Star game there that was ended in a tie? Like, I want to say it was like 2001 or 2002.
You might have been right. Yeah, I can't remember exactly which one, but I know what
you're
talking
about. And
they
ran out of pitchers. And Seelig's looking around like, what are we going to do now? They had had that Futures game just the day before. Mm-hmm. Those ball players were still in the stands. What you would have done. It wouldn't take too much smarts to figure it out. Before the game, you could have suited up four or five of the Futures pitchers that were in that ball game the night before, okay, and put them out in the bullpen and said, listen, if push comes to shove and we need something, if we go extra innings, it goes too deep, we may be able to throw you in the game.
That wouldn't have been.
How's that for an idea? They were already in the ballpark.
Bob, it's too nimble. The thinking is too nimble. That's why Mike Byers, who just reached out, he's my national calendar correspondent, part of the two-man inflation calculation crew, says, I agree. Bob Ibeck for MLB commissioner. Crown it right here in lacrosse today. Bob, let me ask your opinion, because I was given this question to ask you from Darren, and Darren's a huge Brewers fan. He really loves his Milwaukee Brewers, who are currently first in the NL Central, just statistically a couple of points ahead of your former team, the Chicago Cubs. What do you think the Brewers need the most? If there was one thing they needed the most, Bob, what would that be?
Boy, if they could have jumped on getting Kyle Schwarber, who's going on fire now.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Okay, he's got 19 home runs. He's had a week to remember for the Nationals. They need a big bopper up there. They need somebody that can hit the 3-run homer. And because they certainly have some good starting pitching and relief pitching, obviously, and they're a good defensive club. But the fortunate thing is, I still think the Brewers are after watching St. Louis and fading here, I was surprised. I thought in the beginning of the year the Cardinals would be the number one team in the division. With the Brewers second and the Cubs coming in third or fourth behind Cincinnati, although Cincinnati is still capable of moving up. They play. They play weeks in spurts. They go ahead and win 4 or 5 out of 6, and then they lose 4 or 5 out of 6. But I think this is going to unravel a little bit in the next month, because the Cubs start a road trip. They're going out to L.A. for 4 games, and I'll be interested to see exactly when they don't have Hendricks on the mound, and Azale comes in he'll pitch out. Every 2 out of every 4 games, he'll give you 5 or 6 good innings. But they don't have depth in their starting rotation. They need another starter. Arrieta's done. He's finished, okay? Whatever he was taking in 15 and 16 when he joined the Cubs.
I
saw him in Baltimore before that, and he transformed himself into a superhuman pitcher that year.
Yeah,
now all of a sudden the vitamins or whatever is gone. Mm. I don't want to go any further than that, but it could be he's aging gently, okay? But they don't have the depth there. I think Milwaukee, if they could get another big bopper out there to hit some homers, that would really help them. That's where I would try to focus. And there'll be a couple guys out there available at the end of July as some of the teams fall out of contention, and you might be able to pick somebody up. But that would be good. Maybe another starting pitcher, maybe another middle relief pitcher. They seem pretty well set in that division. And I do think I've changed my feelings. I do think maybe Milwaukee is in the driver's seat. It'll be interesting on this next series against the Cubs. After the Cubs play the Dodgers, I know Milwaukee's on their calendar in the next 2 weeks. That'll be an interesting series. But I do like Milwaukee as the favorite. The Cubs aren't hitting the ball regularly. They're relying on occasional home runs. They're streaky, and they're averaging under 2 runs a game. Things are starting to unravel. Like Baez the other night had to get sat down. He forgot where he was running on one out, forgot the number of outs, and Ross had to put him down. And I think some of these guys that are up under contract for, you know, after the season, Bryant and Rizzo and Baez and even Contreras, he's got another year to go. They're starting to think about, well, where am I going to be maybe? What am I going to do? And you start letting that play on your head, and all of a sudden you're forgetting what you're doing on the field.
Yeah, I'm still not – we're talking with Bob Ibeck. If you're just joining the program right now, Bob, who has been recently named Major League Baseball Commissioner by a few of our listeners, I'm still looking at the Cubs, and I'm as a Brewers analyst and a Brewers fan, I'm still fearful because Chicago is plus 24 on the run differential, and that's a real tell, Bob, when it comes down to postseason abilities, is how many more runs do you score than your opponents, and the Cubs are the only team in the division right now that are plus runs. Milwaukee's close, they're minus one, but still Chicago is plus 24. I've got an idea that if the Twins want to unload Miguel Sano, who is having some struggles, he's been hot and cold this year, and the Twins are already out of it. They're 31-42, last place in that division, and they're not going anywhere fast. I would say Miguel Sano should be somebody the Brewers target because he's familiar enough with the region. He's also a good hitter, and he can play first base, and that's what Milwaukee needs desperately, is a first baseman. Now, Bob, we don't have a lot of time left this morning because I've got to draw a winner for Burgers and Brews to Sloopy's alma mater. But just briefly, if you could give me one major takeaway on that Milwaukee Bucks loss to the Atlanta Hawks last night, 116-113, what would that one major takeaway be?
Well, somebody's got to step up on Trae Young. Got 48. I was looking interesting, and it makes me feel a little old when I think that there's only two players in Hawks history, Bob Pettit and Dominique Wilkins, who scored more in a playoff game than Trae Young's 48. They both had 50.
Yeah.
You got to have the big guy in the middle or somebody on these switches. You got to step up and make Young give up the ball. Now, you can still get hurt by my old buddy Kevin Huerter, who had an unbelievable first game, last game against Brooklyn. He was responsible for them. He was responsible for that. But you know, you got these other people out there that you pointed out earlier in the show today. Capella and Collins. Collins. He's got some really good range. John Collins is good ball player.
You know who he reminds me of, Bob? I said this morning. He reminds me of a more refined Sean Kemp because the guy's got all the athleticism in the world. He's long and tall, but Sean never really got himself a jump shot of any note. And John Collins can stretch the floor.
Well, the Milwaukee coach Bud needs to go ahead and go back to the chalkboard here. And teach some of these guys the basics on the pick and roll, okay, and how to go ahead and switch. And you just cannot leave Trae Young open outside for the three-pointer or let him go down the lane as he's done and make his moves down in there. I mean, there was a play last night, and I'm trying to think of the Bucks player who used to play for the Bulls.
Bobby Portis.
Portis. Just, you know, he was in no man's land, okay? And he didn't step up, and it just looked like, okay, hey, it was like a shooting gallery. Just give me the 22-foot jumper. I'll take it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, Bob, that's exactly what Milwaukee Bucks players should not do, is give Trae Young any sort of open jump shot. I look at the intensity and the lack of overall effort in the first quarter as a real harbinger of doom. As a matter of fact, I wrote my notes down. Sloppy play in the first quarter, harbinger of doom. Bob, listen, as always, I wish we had another 3 hours. As a matter of fact, I'm surprised somebody hasn't called us yet and said, you guys need to do a full 3 hours. Here's how much we'll pay you to do this. I'm going to let you go. But until next Thursday, I know we'll talk off air quite a bit. Be well. I know that you're getting ready for your sunscreen and rosin day, laying out, getting some rays. But enjoy yourself, Bob, and we'll look forward to checking in with you next Thursday on the show. Thanks again for getting those Aaron Rodgers MVP balls out here, too.
Glad you guys enjoyed it. They're beautiful, aren't they? Those footballs are great. They're great.
We're going to begin a giveaway on those coming up next week. They're just amazing, and I put a video out there on my social media feeds. If you haven't checked that out, I'll go ahead and repost it or share it today. Bob, as always, thank you so much. You're now the commissioner of Major League Baseball. This has all happened in the last 25 minutes. We're so lucky to have you on.
Well, David, thank you so much. You do me one favor before we depart here. Let me know how the poll comes in with your audience if they want me for commissioner, and then maybe we can start a little campaign here. Okay,
I'm with it. Listen, there is going to be a double WKTY poll question coming out in just a few minutes. I've got to hit my news break, and then I will put that poll question up there. Should Bob Ibeck be commissioner of Major League Baseball? I love it. Bob, have a great rest of your day.
Let me know the results. I hope it's more than one vote.
Oh, we'll get tons of votes. You just wait and see, Bob. We'll have you in wherever the commissioner's office is, New York, I'm sure, by the end of the week. See you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Have a good day, David. Bye now.
You too. Bob Ibeck, an amazing guest. We're so lucky to have this guy as part of the show. We really are. If you have missed out on any of what Bob has had to say this morning, please, please, please subscribe to my Overtime podcast. Absolutely free of charge. Not a dollar down and $0 a month. You get the Overtime podcast. You can subscribe to it on iTunes, on Google Play, all the different podcast platforms. You get the Overtime podcast. This morning's Overtime will also feature Joe DeGuano, our Green and Gold insider, who talked a lot of Milwaukee Bucks basketball, and John Denton, our sports betting insider, who gave us a prop play for tonight's Suns Clippers game. Before I go to break, though, I've got a winner.